innocent woman who'd been taken from her former life, stripped of all her rights. She was treated no better than livestock. She was starved and beaten, stomped on like dirt. And now I was her captor. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but that didn't stop me from doing it. My need to have her outweighed my good conscience. My only justification was the fact I wasn't evil like Tristan and the rest of his men. I wouldn't starve her or make her bleed just for the hell of it, but not my style. And we arrived in Florence a few hours later. My car was in the parking lot, and after we got inside, we returned to my apartment at the corner of the city. The sun had disappeared, so now the city was dark. Only the lights from windows and sparse streetlights lit the way. My apartment was on the top floor of an old building. Until my new place was ready, it would have to do. The second we arrived in Florence, her eyes soaked everything in. Her face was pressed against the window as she watched the buildings pass. She'd probably never been to Italy, judging by her reaction. We entered the gate and walked up to the third story. The fog had settled into the city, so the green hillsides in the distance were non-existent. I got the key inside, and we stepped into my personal space, the place I called home. She entered the living room and stood absolutely still, as if she was waiting for permission to touch anything. When Pearl first became Crow's slave, she was adamant about escaping. She fought him tooth and nail, as well as with that fiery attitude. But I didn't seem to have to worry about her. She wasn't looking for the exits or the knife drawer. Annoying. This is my place until the house is ready. She crossed her arms over her chest, looking cold in her t-shirt and jeans.
You have another place?
Just bought it. The place is almost finished. Seeing my brother live in peace away from the city made me crave the same privacy. I didn't need a vineyard and olive trees, but I wanted to look out my window and not see a soul for miles. I wanted to be alone.
Then where will I be staying?
The house. And maybe she was docile now, but she could change her tune once she was comfortable. Being so close to other neighbors, including the police station just miles away, made her captivity precarious. I walked down the hall and into one of the spare bedrooms. It had a queen-sized bed, two nightstands, a dresser, and a large window that had a great view of the cathedral across the street. This is where you'll be sleeping. With arms still over her chest, she walked inside and inspected it. She didn't give any noticeable reaction to the accommodations. She lowered herself to the edge of the bed and sat down, testing the firmness. Any time I saw her near a bed, there was only one thing on my mind. The doctor will be here in a second, so don't get comfortable.
The doctor?
She blurted, her head cocked to the side. She ran her hands up and down her arms.
The bruises will go away on their own. No need to worry about them.
I never said I was. I shut the door and walked back to the entrance. My phone rang in my pocket, so I fished it out. When I saw Crow's name on the screen, I knew exactly why he was calling. He knew the deal had been made, but there was millions of dollars missing from the account. How would I explain that? Hey, I just got back into town. I'll call you in the morning.
You're back?
My brother asked in surprise.
Why are you back, but our bank account is empty?
Don't worry, the money is coming.
Not worry? He hissed. Kane, what the fuck is going on? Bran just told me he's been instructed to get the shipment ready, but I'm not seeing any funds on my end. So tell me what's going on before I kill you.
The doctor knocked on the door. Crow, chill out, all right? I've got it taken care of, so don't worry.
It doesn't seem that way.
I gotta go. I hung up on him and switched the phone to silent. Hey, Dr. Pius, thanks for stopping by.
Of course. Where is she?
Follow me. I walked into the spare bedroom where I left her just minutes ago. Take off your clothes. Dr. Pius is going to examine you.
Examine me for what?
That respectable fire kindled once more. He's going to make sure you didn't get anything, because when I fuck you, I'm not wearing a condom. I stepped aside so Dr. Pius can set down his bag and get to work. I paid him a lot of money to do this job without sharing my secrets with the world. The privacy was worth every penny. Her face immediately paled at the cold way I just spoke about her. Her knees automatically tightened together, and she stiffened once Dr. Pius approached her.
I'm not taking off my clothes or opening my legs for anyone. If you expect to get anything done, you're going to have to make me.
I was hoping you would say that. I stormed to the bed and pushed her back until she was flat on the mattress. I pinned her arms above her head and put my weight on her thighs, so she had limited mobility in her legs. She had murder in her eyes. She hated me more in that moment than any of our previous encounters. She threw her body forward, but it didn't move an inch against my heavy weight. She tried to fight my hands, but that didn't work either. Dr. Pius got her jeans and panties off and began the examination. I stared at her face and watched her anger rise. If she had a gun, she'd shoot me in an instant, and I would respect her for it.
You fucking asshole.
I'm an asshole because I want to make sure you don't have something. You should be grateful.
I should be grateful that you want to make sure I'm clean before you rape me?
The word rape didn't arouse me. But for an instant, my need to have her was clouded by the strong word she used. I didn't see the situation that way. She was stolen and beaten by someone else. I was merely borrowing her for a short period of time. I wasn't the bad guy here. And not entirely. You should be grateful that I care about being clean. If I'm making sure you don't have anything, then I obviously don't.
Oh, how sweet.
She sucked in a breath, then spit in my face. I let it drip back onto her neck and didn't move to wipe it away. I kept my body firmly in place so she couldn't sabotage the doctor's examination. Do you want me to hurt you? It sure seems like it.
Tristan wants me back in the same condition I left in, so you can't do shit.
Oh, really? Now I wanted to slap her across the face until she cried. I know lots of ways to torture someone without leaving a mark, and you're about to find out how. That softened her resistance, making her draw in shaky breaths as her imagination ran wild. Dr. Pius finally finished and collected what he needed.
Give me a few hours, and I'll let you know what I find.
Thank you. I got off her and walked him to the door. I paid him for his services in cash, then locked the door behind him. When I returned to the bedroom, she had pulled on her panties and jeans, hiding her nakedness from view. Now that the doctor was gone, she was more subdued. She didn't have the same edge she possessed just moments ago, but she still stared at me with pure hatred. I leaned against the doorframe as I considered what to do with her. I wanted to fuck her, but that wasn't possible for a few hours. My mouth had tasted her delicious pussy, and now I was eager for her to taste me. Take off everything but your thong. Now. I already imagined her saliva dripping down her chin and splashing on the floor. Tears burned in her eyes, then dripped down her cheeks. I wanted to fuck her throat until it was raw. She stayed on the bed, holding her ground. Her arms were secured around her waist like a wall.
No.
No. She was stupid if she thought there wouldn't be repercussions for saying that word.
No,
she said it more firmly this time.
I'm not doing anything.
I stepped further into the room, feeling my cock harden in my jeans. Whenever she fought me, it aroused me, but whenever she was cooperative, it turned me on too, just in a different way. I could never go wrong with her. Do it, or I'll make you. I stopped when I was just feet away from her. You're going to get on your knees and suck me off. And you're going to like it, too.
Fuck you.
That familiar shiver ran down my spine. You're either very stupid or very brave.
Neither. I just know you're better than those other scumbags. I know you won't make me do anything.
She was calling my bluff. A dangerous thing to do.
I know you have a heart. Otherwise, you would have fucked me when you came into that room.
Did you ever think that maybe I was concerned you would give me something?
You had a condom.
Still risky.
No. You just listened to me. I said no and you listened.
The anger dimmed as she stared at me. As she spoke, she gave herself more confidence. She convinced herself everything she said was true.
So I'm not scared of you.
She cornered me with just her words, and now I had to prove her wrong. I had to backhand her just the way Tristan did. I had to punch her in the face so hard that I cracked her cheekbone. I had to make her wish she was back with Tristan because I was so much worse. My hand shot out to her neck, and I gripped her throat tightly, cutting off her air supply just enough to make her struggle to breathe. I gave her the coldest look I could muster, taking on the appearance of Satan himself. She didn't grip my wrists with her hands, keeping them on her thighs. Her eyes were locked to mine as she controlled her panic. She didn't give in to the fear, even though I wasn't allowing her to take a full breath of air. I challenged her, but she challenged me back. I gripped her harder, this time cutting off her air supply altogether. She still didn't grab me. We were going head to head, waiting for the other to break first. All I had to do was strike with my iron fist. I'd punched a lot of people. I'd nearly killed Pearl simply because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. If I'd met this woman just a year before, she'd be begging for mercy at this very moment. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't hurt her. I dropped my hand and stepped back, ashamed that she won the standoff. She clutched her chest as she coughed and caught her breath. Too pissed to look at her, I stormed off and slammed the door behind me. I set the alarm system for the apartment with my cock still hard, then went to bed. Despite my hard-on, I didn't feel like beating off. I was too angry. She outsmarted me, and I didn't appreciate it. All I had to do to even the scales was hurt her so much that she couldn't walk, but not a single bone in my body would cooperate with the decision. I wanted the action, but not if I had to make her bleed. I was a fucking pussy. I shouldn't care about her well-being. I shouldn't give a damn about hurting her. She was stupid enough to put herself in a vulnerable position to get snatched in the first place, so to hell with being a nice guy. I got into bed and pulled the covers to my waist, my dick still hard under the sheets. All I could think about was the beautiful brunette down the hall with a pussy that tasted like crack. I could easily go out and pick up another woman to solve my problem, but I didn't want another woman. I wanted her. And I didn't even know her name.
Chapter 9. Pearl. I knew Crow was pissed the second he walked in the door. He's a fucking piece of shit, and I'm gonna put a bullet right between his goddamn eyes. He threw his jacket on the back of the chair, but missed by several feet, so it fell to the floor instead. It didn't matter how rich he was. Expensive suits like that didn't belong on the floor. I set my journal down and picked the coat up. I shook out potential wrinkles and set it on the chair where Lars would retrieve it later. Crow kicked off his shoes and yanked off his tie. His movements were harsh and jagged.
I've wanted to kill him many times in my life, and this is one of them. I want to break his neck and turn him into a rubber chicken.
I picked up his other articles of clothing like the good wife that I was. So, who are we talking about?
That piece of shit. You know exactly who.
Lars? I teased. Crow's mood dampened only slightly. The corner of his mouth rose in a smile before it quickly disappeared again, his anger coming back like it never left.
The deal is done, but we're missing the second half of the money. I asked Kane about it last night, and that shithead hung up on me. I called him again 3 times today, and he didn't answer.
That's not like him. Crow walked to the balcony and unbuttoned his collared shirt. This was my favorite part of the day. He usually stripped down to his boxers, revealing his beautifully chiseled physique. and one thing led to another before we ended up in bed together, and again in the shower. He tossed the shirt onto a different chair, then looked across the vineyards that reached until the hillside. His hands moved into his pockets, and he stood tall as he gazed over everything he owned. He's usually on top of his game when it comes to work. That's why I trust him. But now, I don't have a clue what's going on.
Want me to talk to him? I stood at his shoulders and pressed kisses along the grooves of muscles. As much as I cared about my husband's complaints, there was only one thing on my mind. In my defense, when I complained about something, he didn't listen to me either. He was too busy getting my panties off.
No, I'll handle him.
He eyed his watch.
I'm gonna go by the facility and talk to him face to face. He's hiding something from me. I know it.
He turned around and pulled a t-shirt out of his top drawer. Whoa, slow down. I yanked the shirt out of his hand and pressed my body into his. How about you spend some quality time with your wife before you storm off again? His eyes intensified as he considered the offer.
I'd love to, Button, but it'll have to wait.
You're turning me down? I asked incredulously. He was usually the one who couldn't get enough. I had to slap his hand away when he tried to grope me in front of Lars. You're gone at work all day and then leave again without satisfying your wife? I knew that would get under his skin.
Button, this is my business we're talking about. I can make up for it when I get home later.
Now it wasn't about the sex. I missed him all day, and now he was leaving again. Not having a job or a hobby was starting to get to me. Can I come with you?
Absolutely not.
He turned hostile like I'd just asked for something ludicrous.
I'll be gone for a few hours. You'll manage.
I'll manage? I snapped. He walked out and grabbed his brown leather jacket on the way. He turned into a dictator once his business was on the table, forgetting about everything else and letting it fade into the background.
Crow, I've been there before.
On very different terms.
He took the stairs ahead of me, not slowing down to have this conversation.
You'll be bored anyway.
If this is your business, it's my business too. We're married, remember?
I caught up to him when he reached the ground floor.
Doesn't matter. It's not safe.
I pulled a knife out of my stitches and killed Bones.
Don't fucking say his name in my house.
Crow turned on me and grabbed me by the elbow. His fingers dug into my skin aggressively, and he looked down into my face with malcontent. He looked more furious than I'd ever seen him.
I've asked multiple times, but you never listen to me. Listen to me now.
I twisted out of his grasp.
Our house.
Just do as I say.
He turned away again.
I can hold my own. These are your men we're talking about. They aren't going to do anything to me.
I don't want other men looking at you. They all wanted to fuck you at one point.
I'd never forget the first time I came to that base. Crow talked me into allowing him to give me a shot to put me to sleep so he could take me to his house. I accepted his offer because I preferred him over the others. If they'd had their chance, they would have done terrible things to me.
Give them a chance to look at me in a new way. And if they don't, I'll gladly kick them in the balls.
Crow didn't stop walking as he headed to the front door.
Button, stay.
I'm not a dog, asshole.
Crow ground his teeth together as he turned around and looked at me.
I'm in a hurry, and you're keeping me waiting. I don't want you to come, and that decision is final.
You don't make the decisions in this house. We make them together.
He dragged his hand down his face when he couldn't hide his anger anymore.
Why do you want to come so bad?
Because I'm stuck in this house all day long with nothing to do. I want to do something.
Then go for a jog, start gardening. I don't give a shit.
I want to be productive.
I want to work. My wife doesn't work.
This conversation was going nowhere. Now I wanted to drag my hands down my face. I'm serious, Crow.
I'm sure you are, but now isn't the time for this conversation.
We can have it on the drive. Crow had finally given up.
Fine. Just stick to my side at all times. Don't go wandering off. I mean it.
I know. We got into the car and drove away from the Tuscan fields and into the main city. Crow drove fast and past cars that were taking a leisurely stroll down the country road. The radio wasn't on, and he gripped the steering wheel tightly, clearly angry.
I've got an extra pistol you can have. You remember how to use one?
I wasn't stupid.
Yes. Good.
You go to the base all the time. It's not dangerous.
Always be prepared.
He usually rested one hand on my thigh, but now he rested it on the gear shift. So, I was thinking of getting a job in Florence. I looked online and they have a few engineering positions open. I knew exactly what Crow's reaction was going to be, but this was a conversation we needed to have. By staying home all day, I was just getting fat and bored. Crow turned to me and took his eyes off the road. His reaction was the same, but his eyes were dark with irritation. He didn't even need to say anything to communicate his anger.
Button, we just talked about this. I don't feel comfortable with you driving to Florence every day for work.
Well, I need to do something. Lars is even annoyed with me.
Well, you're pretty annoying.
I knew he didn't mean that, so I ignored it. I clean around the house, jog through the vineyards, swim in the pool, and read every single day. I'm running out of things to do. I need something, Crow.
You're never going to do anything at the base, so that's out of the question.
What about the winery? He turned his eyes back to the road.
You know nothing of wine.
Even though it was true, my eyes still widened. Too bad I don't know anyone who could teach me. His frustration continued to become more visible.
I want you to stay home. That's our culture here. Men work and women stay home.
Bullshit. That was the culture 50 years ago.
It doesn't change the way I feel. I want my wife to be taken care of. I want you to sit around and get fat all day.
I laughed. Trust me, you don't want that.
Button, I understand where you're coming from, but it's just not going to work.
There has to be something at the winery.
You'll only distract me all day.
Will not, I argued. What about the wine tours? Let me handle that.
Again, you know nothing of wine.
Then teach me, I argued. Have one of your employees teach me. I think it'll be fun.
You don't speak Italian, he reminded me.
But most Italians speak English, and most tourists speak English. Crow passed another car as he sped to the base.
If I let you do this, will you drop it?
I smiled. Yes.
Then you're hired.
I threw my fist into the air. I'm so excited. You want a carpool? The corner of his mouth rose in a smile.
Sure. You better pay your portion of the gas.
With my job, I can make that work.
We both know you won't be paying in cash.
Once Crow arrived at the base, he turned into a soldier. When he rescued me from Bones's men, he slit the throats of all the survivors in the middle of the street of Rome. He adopted that same calloused presence now.
Where the fuck is Kane?
He barged inside and moved past the men as they spoke in the entryway. I followed behind him, feeling the men stare at me just the way Crow said they would. You got a problem? I asked the one who wasn't bothering to hide his stare. He looked me up and down like a woman that was for sale. He quickly turned away the second I called him out. Crow was too absorbed in his conversation to notice.
Bran, where is he?
He didn't come in today,
Bran said in poor English. His Italian accent was heavy.
He's moving into his new place.
What?
Crow asked in surprise.
Have you spoken to him today?
This morning,
Bran answered.
Fucking asshole. What's going on with the shipment? Kane released the weapons, but there hasn't been a money drop.
Bran shrugged.
Kane told me to release the shipment. That's all I know.
Jesus Christ.
Crow walked to a table that had a landline. He dialed Kane's number and pressed the phone to his ear. He must have reached his voicemail because he slammed the phone back on the base.
Where's his new place, Bran?
Bran shrugged again.
Sorry, I have no idea.
Crow stood with his hands on his hips, looking calm despite the rage inside his eyes. That was the easiest way to read him, by looking at the doors that led to his soul. When he made love to me, I could see the depth of his feelings just by looking at him. Right now, he wanted to burn the whole place down.
I'll hunt him down then.
Chapter 10. Adelina.
It was the first time I slept through the night. Tristan didn't wake me up in the dead of night to fuck me. My stomach didn't growl with hunger. I wasn't scared of Kane bursting through the door just to choke me. When my eyes closed, they didn't open again. I slept better than I had in a long time. When I woke up the following morning, the sun came through the window at my bedside. I could see the cathedral in all its glory, sparkling in the light of the sun. Its stained glass windows looked even more glorious than they did the night before. I'd never had plans to see Italy, but now that I was here, I realized what a treasure it was. I could see the fields in the distance, the grape leaves hanging from the vines. People walked down the cobblestone streets with their morning coffee in hand. There was something about the atmosphere here that I adored. Everything moved slowly. People didn't seem to be in a hurry to get anywhere like they did in America. If I weren't a captive, I'd probably be thrilled to wake up to such a beautiful morning. I would stay in my bedroom all day to avoid Kane, but I really had to pee. Plus, I was hungry. Last night, he proved to me that I was dead on about his qualities. He wasn't a monster like the others. He might be rough around the edges, but there were certain lines he wouldn't cross. He had a heart inside that rock-hard chest of his. It might be small and almost unnoticeable, but it was there. I was lucky. My time with Kane would only last 31 days, but I was grateful for the break. It was pretty much a vacation for me. I wouldn't have to be fucked in the ass in the middle of the night as I sobbed into the sheets. I could eat whenever I wanted. I could use the bathroom like a human being. It was a dream come true. I cracked the door and peered into the hallway. I didn't hear a peep from the apartment, so perhaps he was still asleep. I went into the bathroom and did my business, then washed my face in the sink. I'd had a shower the day before, but it was such a privilege to have the cold water splash onto my face. I walked back into the living room and ventured into the kitchen. Kane was sitting at the dining table with his laptop and papers scattered around him. There was also a peculiar syringe right beside him. I wasn't sure if he noticed me. If he didn't, I was going to try to disappear once more. After last night, any interaction we had would be awkward. I was stuck with him for 30 days, so I should make the best of it. But that seemed unlikely.
Eat.
He didn't take his eyes off his work.
I made you a plate. Sit down.
I noticed the plate beside him. 2 scrambled eggs, 2 pieces of bacon, and toast.
Coffee is on the counter. I'm not making that for you.
He sipped his mug, then typed on the keyboard. I couldn't remember the last time I had coffee. That sounded so delicious. I poured myself a mug and added a little creamer before I sat down. The second my butt touched the chair, he stuck the needle into my arm and hit the clicker on top. The needle went in and implanted something right into my skin.
What the hell?
I swatted his arm away and looked at the tiny drop of blood that formed from the wound.
A tracker.
He turned back to his computer like nothing had just happened.
A tracker?
Yeah, I have a friend who uses one. Swears by it.
A lot of your friends hold women against their will?
He smiled like it was a joke.
Just my brother.
Disgusting.
My craving for my coffee had disappeared, but I drank it anyway. Kane pissed me off, but he was tolerable. I could sit at the dining table and eat like a human being. He treated me with more dignity and respect than other men I'd come across during my tenure in Europe. But I refused to show him too much respect, because if he really were a good person, he would offer to help me. But he never did.
I'm disgusting, huh?
He asked.
How about I knock your food on the ground? See who's disgusting then.
I'd eat it right off the ground. I didn't care.
Do it. Food is food.
He finally turned his eyes on me, seeming interested in what I said. He hadn't shaved his face last night, so his beard was a little thicker. He had a nice jaw, the kind I saw in movies and TV. He had nice teeth, too, perfectly straight and white. His dark brown hair nearly looked black, and it was cut short and close to his scalp. But if I ran my fingers through it, I suspected there would be enough length for me to play with. I should look away from his gaze, but I didn't. I chose to look into his green eyes and marvel at how pretty they were. Eyes like that didn't happen every generation. He really had something special, something unique. I wondered if his brother shared the same characteristics.
Why do you need a slave when you can get any girl you want?
I had no right to ask him anything, but since I was subjected to his company, I was curious. He really didn't need me at all. He was wealthy and attractive. He could hit on a girl in a bar and have her stay for the weekend.
Get any girl I want, huh?
He asked as he turned back to his computer.
Thanks for the compliment, but that's not accurate.
I doubt it. If she didn't know about his criminal activities, she would have no reason to be prejudiced. If I had met him under different circumstances, I'd probably go on a date with him. He might even score at the end of the night.
I can't get you, right?
He didn't speak with bitterness, just calm honesty.
Well,
when I couldn't think of anything better to say, I drank my coffee. When he came into my room and pressed his face between my legs, it was the first time I felt that heat burn in my blood. His tongue felt good right against my clit. None of Tristan's men had tried to make me feel good. All they did was try to break me so they could get off to my tears. He changed the subject when we reached a dead end.
I'm moving into my new place this afternoon. We'll be there for a few days until I return you to Tristan. I have too much stuff to do right now to take off again.
I was just about to sip my coffee when I digested his words.
What do you mean, return me to Tristan?
He was quiet for a long time as he finished reading something on his computer. It didn't seem like he was going to say anything at all.
Our arrangement didn't work out the way I wanted, as you figured out. There's no point in me keeping you.
But you're supposed to keep me for 31 days.
I'm aware, he said coldly. but I guess I don't have as much of a backbone as I thought. The shipment is on its way, but it hasn't reached him yet. I can still pull out, so there's no harm done.
I couldn't go back to that nightmare. Not this soon. I could finally eat when I wanted, and sleep all through the night. I didn't have to walk on eggshells or be terrified anymore. Kane didn't need to have his hand wrapped around my throat to have a decent conversation with me. I couldn't go back. I couldn't handle it. Kane closed his laptop and organized his folders.
My driver is picking us up in an hour. Be ready by then.
He left the table and took his things with him. I stayed behind with my uneaten plate. I suddenly lost my appetite, which was a miracle considering the fact that I'd been starved for so long. Steam drifted from my coffee up to the ceiling, and I watched it drift past my face. A pain formed in the pit of my stomach, and the anxiety stepped in. I'd only been Tristan's prisoner for a short period of time, but the idea of returning to that terrible place gave me anxiety. I didn't want him to touch me. I didn't want him to hurt me. I didn't want anyone to be near me.
Chapter 11. Kane. I didn't hear a peep from her all day. We pulled up to my new piece of real estate, and I was pleased with how well the gardeners handled the roses and the bushes. The green lawn was perfectly manicured and led to high walls covered with ivy. It was perfect. It was a two-story Tuscan-style home with redwood windows and a large curved door at the entrance. It was large for one person, but I craved the privacy from the rest of civilization. Plus, I'd accumulated a lot of wealth over the last few years, and I wanted to invest it in something smart. And the place was beautiful. I got out and walked up to the place, noticing the butterflies that drifted across the property. There was lots of shade from the trees, protection from the powerful Tuscan sun. The breeze ruffled the leaves and made natural music against my ear. It already felt like home. I got the front door unlocked and stepped inside. My designer incorporated everything I asked for, turning the place into a tasteful home. All the women would love it, obviously, and my guests would feel comfortable. My driver carried all of my bags inside and to the master bedroom on the second story. I'd bought my guest a few clothes, even though it was a poor investment. I was returning her in a few days, and Tristan would probably throw everything away and strip her down to her bra and panties. She drifted in behind me, admiring the large entryway and the living room with an enormous fireplace. The hearth was three times the size of the average fireplace. The white furniture contrasted against the cream walls with different colored pillows. I preferred darker colors, but my designer insisted it didn't match the quality of the home. Since she knew about this stuff better than I did, I trusted her. You can have one of the guest rooms. Doesn't matter to me. Now that she was off limits, I pushed her from my mind and concentrated on work. Crow was still riding my ass about the money, so it was a good thing I was returning her and stopping the shipment. Perhaps it wasn't a good idea to begin with. I still wanted to fuck her, but I made my peace with it. I thought I could be the man I once was, the monster that took what he wanted with little regard for other people's feelings. But it seemed like that version of myself had died the moment Pearl sacrificed herself for me. My brother would never allow me to be alone with his wife as long as we lived because of my mistake. I couldn't go back to that, not after I hurt someone I loved.
Kane?
Hmm? I stepped farther into the room and admired the artwork the decorator had selected. This one in particular was of a woman in a sun hat moving through the farmer's market in Florence. Her face wasn't visible, but one of her hands reached out to grab an orange. The details of her digits alone were fascinating. She wore one ruby along with a gold bracelet. She had the kind of bone structure that made me assume she was beautiful, that whatever was underneath that hat was something truly incredible.
Don't send me back.
I recognized the desperation in her voice. Above all else, I noticed the fear. I turned around and looked at her, only partially pitying her. There's nothing I can do. I have no use for you. I wasn't going to keep her around and let my shipment go as planned if I wasn't being fairly compensated for the exchange. And right now, I was only babysitting her.
And what if I became useful to you?
My heart palpitated at the question, hearing the implication in her words. I slowly turned around and faced her, seeing the red tint in her cheeks and the discomfort in her eyes. Like any other time I looked at her, my cock swelled like a balloon. Something about her made me turn into a simple man with simple needs. All I wanted to do was pound my cock inside her and listen to her scream. Prove how useful you are. We'll see what happens. I hadn't called Tristan yet because I was curious to see what my guest would offer me. My intention wasn't to blackmail her. If she didn't want to be there, I couldn't force her to do anything. Logically, I should send her back. But this worked out in my favor. Now she had to decide where she'd rather spend the next month, underneath me or underneath him. The choice shouldn't be difficult. I sat in the living room and stared at the enormous flames in the fireplace. The windows were still open and the nighttime darkness crept inside. Something about being in the middle of nowhere put me at ease. I used to love the loud cacophony of the city, especially when I headed to bars and picked up a woman for the night, but now my interest had faded. I wasn't sure what I wanted. She stepped into the living room with a dark blanket covering her body from head to toe. She appeared to be cold despite the fact that it had been a hot afternoon. The AC had been working at full blast earlier, but once the sun set and the fog settled in, it became cool again. I eyed her from my spot on the couch, my cock hardening in my jeans the second we were in the same room together. I couldn't explain my attraction to this woman. Those beautiful blue eyes and those soft features weren't that unique, but something about her made me run 10 degrees warmer than usual. I knew she found me attractive. She complimented me once, and when my face was pressed between her legs, I knew she liked it. Her prejudice against me would never die because I was a criminal, but her body wasn't so picky. I took another drink of my scotch as I watched her stand in the corner, her reluctance obvious. My cock continued to harden and thicken with every passing minute. I missed looking at her beautiful tits. They were small but firm. I understood Tristan's obsession better than anyone else because I shared the same desire. She finally stepped farther into the room, the blanket trailing behind her. She approached the couch, her silhouette dark as the fire burned behind her. She looked down at me before she dropped the fabric to the ground. She was still a silhouette to me, but a damn provocative one. Her sultry hourglass figure was unbelievable. She wore a black thong and nothing else. She had wide hips, a petite waist, and the sexiest legs I'd ever seen. I didn't even notice the scars. I kept my breathing under control and didn't give my desperation away. I'd wanted to be inside her pussy since the first time I laid eyes on her in that airport. Maybe my obsession was shallow, and once I had her, I would lose interest. I didn't move because I wanted to see what she would do next. Whatever movement she made next was of her own free will. I wasn't making her do a damn thing, and that freed me of any guilt I had. I drank my scotch again, my eyes glued to her perfect tits. She grabbed the glass and set it on the table beside me, taking over like a woman in charge. She moved on top of me and straddled my hips until her panties rested right over my hard cock inside my jeans. I lost control of my reaction and took a deep breath in anticipation. She was right on top of me, her weight feather light and her smell intoxicating. She didn't wear any perfume, so her heavenly scent was natural. My hands immediately went to her thighs and I gave them a gentle squeeze. Her skin was soft, like I expected it to be, warm to the touch. I rested against the cushion and looked up into her face, seeing the dark strands of hair cover one eye. My hand dove in and pulled the hair from her cheeks, revealing the beautiful features I noticed the moment I set eyes on her. Even with the faint bruising, she was stunning. Her lips were full and plump, perfect for my mouth to worship. She had high cheekbones and almond-shaped eyes, giving her a natural elegance that reminded me of a queen. My hand slid to her hips, and I adjusted her on top of me, wanting her to sit directly on my raging hard-on. She needed to know how much I wanted her. I wanted to give her the reins to do exactly what she wanted, but my need for control overpowered my patience. I sat up and moved, pulling her tighter against me, her perky tits right against my chest. My mouth moved to hers and I kissed her. I didn't care for kissing. I preferred as little foreplay as possible. I wanted to get down to the good stuff, getting my cock sucked hard before I fucked my woman until she screamed. Kissing and touching were unnecessary for me to bring a woman to her climax, but I wanted to kiss her. My mouth suddenly felt numb the second I met her lips, so hot that it actually felt cold. The contact was overwhelming. Gentle jolts of lightning entered my body, making my spine tighten and the rest of my muscles contract. The kiss affected my entire body just as much as it affected my mouth. My hand moved down the steep curve of her back until I reached her ass. My fingers gripped the back of her thong and I wrapped the fabric around my knuckles. I wanted a firm grip on her because I had no intention of ever letting this woman go. The kiss started off slow and soft. I moved my mouth with hers and felt her hesitancy at kissing me back. She was there with me, but not in the same way I was. The simple embrace already satisfied my urge to have her. She still struggled to return the embrace, to give me the kind of passion I was giving her. My other hand moved up her back until it found her cheek. I cupped her gently as I deepened the kiss, moving my mouth harder against hers and feeling her breath fill my lungs. My fingers felt her soft hair, and I pictured how they would feel against my bare chest. I broke apart just for an instant to get my shirt off. I wanted to feel those gorgeous tits right against my chest. I wanted her hard nipples to rub against my powerful muscles until they were raw. I didn't care that she didn't want to kiss me. I was happy just to have her, to have a forced fantasy even if it wasn't real. My hands touched her everywhere, touching the beautiful curves her body possessed. I loved the tightness of her stomach, the way her waist curved inward until it reached her hips. She was petite, small enough for me to pick up with a single arm. As much as I wanted to keep kissing her, I broke apart and moved my lips to her neck. I tasted her skin with my tongue, mesmerizing her taste. I hugged her harder, then gripped the back of her hair before I tugged her head back. I kissed her chest and licked the small valley between her breasts. Fuck, you're gorgeous. My lips trailed back up her neck and to her ear, where I gave her a hot kiss. Goddamn gorgeous. I turned my face back to hers and stared at her lips, seeing the slight way they were parted. Her small teeth were cute, and I pictured knocking my own teeth against hers when I kissed her too hard. My cock was so goddamn hard. I moved my mouth to hers again, even though I could explore the rest of her body. I loved that mouth, loved those lips. This time I moved my tongue inside and met hers. She took a deep breath, then moved her tongue with mine. Her hands slid up my chest until they reached my shoulders. She dug her fingers into me, pressing her digits deep into my skin. Her hips rocked slightly, her pussy grinding over my hard cock through my jeans. She gave herself a slight amount of friction, turned me on like crazy. I kissed her harder, feeling my tongue dance with hers. We breathed together as the perspiration accumulated on our bodies. I'd never worked up such a sweat just from kissing a woman. But with this one, I gave her my all. I actually growled against her mouth because my mind was in the clouds. Her hand slowly inched up the back of my neck and into my hair. She explored my body just the way I explored hers, taking her time and getting to know me in an intimate way. Sometimes I thought I heard a silent moan escape her lips, but that could have been just wishful thinking. My hands moved to her ass and I gripped her perkiness, loving that feature just as much as the rest of her. My hands shook as I held her, my cock eager to be inside her right this second. I didn't want to stop kissing her, touching her like this, but I still wanted more. I grabbed her hips and guided her pussy across my length. I wanted to stimulate her clit with my length, to give her a glimpse of what my impressive cock could do to her. A part of me wanted to hurt her just the way Tristan did, but another part of me wanted to make her feel good. I wanted to give her an orgasm she'd never forget. I suspected she hadn't gotten much pleasure during her captivity. I could change her whole outlook on sex. I could show her it was the most incredible experience she'd ever know. She began to moan into my mouth, her hips rocking on their own. Her hands locked around my wrists as I gripped her hips, squeezing me harder than I squeezed her. She slid down my length, from top to bottom, over and over again. Her lips quivered against mine as her moans dissolved on my tongue. Shit, I wanted to come. I wasn't going to come in my boxers like a teenager. I was coming in her mouth, pussy, or ass, preferably all three. Once she approached the precipice of her climax, she visibly pulled away from me. She stopped rocking her hips and her hands loosened on my arms. Her mouth was no longer hungry for mine. I could feel her slipping away. She knew this was wrong. The only reason she straddled my lap in the first place was because she was trying to save herself from Tristan's wrath. But now she enjoyed it, and that was unsettling. Don't pull away from me. I took control of her hips and dragged her across my length, forcing her to feel the hardness of my cock. I stopped our kiss just to look her in the eye, to command her with my stare. Her face was about to light up in joy, glow beet red and beautiful. Her nipples would turn into points sharper than darts. You want me to keep you? I spoke against her mouth, my lips pressing against hers as I spoke. Then come for me. I would know if it was real or fake, and right now I wasn't the least bit worried about a disingenuous performance. I kissed her again, my lips moving against hers with purposeful precision. My mouth wanted to feel hers, to feel every tiny line and groove. I wanted to memorize her kiss so I could feel it in my dreams. My cock wanted to memorize her body's dimensions for lonely nights. It was an introduction to my arrangement with this woman, my slave. She couldn't hold back any longer. Her hips began to buckle as the spasms took over. With one deep breath after another, she slowly approached the moment she'd been postponing. Her body couldn't betray her now. I could feel her moisture leak through her underwear and into my jeans. Her arousal was permanently stained on my clothes, her undeniable confession. All I should care about was getting off, but the idea of her pleasure was a new turn-on for me. She looked into my eyes, arousal and self-loathing etched into her expression. She pressed her lips tightly together as she tried to downplay the powerful emotions erupting through her body. But her hips jerked, and she dragged across my dick harder, giving her the friction that made her experience a new realm of pleasure. Her lips unlocked, and she let out a beautiful moan, a scream that sounded like a song. Her eyes widened in surprise, and her head rolled back. She tried so hard to stop her body from betraying her, but now it seemed like it was the first time she'd experienced this form of heaven. Her moans morphed into screams. Sometimes it seemed like she was trying to say words, but everything was an incoherent mess. It was like she'd never had an orgasm before, at least with a man. Now I really wanted to come. Nothing sexier than watching a woman come all over my dick. Her hands loosened from my wrists, and she caught her breath once the euphoria was over. She closed her eyes like she couldn't handle the truth of my gaze. I was a man keeping her as collateral, and she just came for me. Nothing to be ashamed of. I undid the top of my jeans and felt the moisture from her pussy. My fingers shook slightly when I felt the soaked fabric of my clothes. No woman could put on a show like that, unless she really liked it. Now I was gonna fuck her, so damn hard. She unzipped my jeans the rest of the way, then took over, yanking my jeans and boxers down so my cock could come free. She stumbled for a moment, her eyes on my 9-inch length. She'd seen it before, but under the circumstance, she may not have truly looked at it. I was probably bigger than the other men she'd been with, which might be a bad thing. She tugged on my bottoms until my clothing reached my knees. Instead of pulling her panties off and straddling my hips, she lowered herself to the floor and got on her knees, and my cock twitched in anticipation. She pulled my clothes to my ankles, then leaned forward on my thighs. Her tits rested against my skin, looking sexier since they were pushed up. Like a pro, she wrapped her fingers tightly around my base and gave a good squeeze. I kept my hands at my sides, letting her take the wheel so I could sit back and enjoy. I'd pictured this moment many times, but it was never as hot as this. I watched her with smoldering eyes, seeing the fire dance behind her in the hearth. She didn't hesitate before she pressed her tongue to the base of my cock and dragged it to the head. Her tongue was warm and textured, feeling incredible against my rock-hard length. When she got to the top, her tongue swiped across my head and collected the drop that formed there. Jesus Christ. She flattened her tongue before she craned her neck and took my length into her mouth. She tried to move far on her first go, but she immediately recoiled once the head of my cock nearly initiated her gag reflex. She took a deep breath, then did it again, this time warier of my length. I could tell I was the biggest she'd ever taken by her naivete, but she didn't give up. She moved her hand at the same time as her mouth moved up and down. Her saliva dripped all the way to my balls and to the cushion underneath me. She craned her neck harder and worked my cock at a great pace. Fuck, this was incredible. I couldn't keep my hands to myself anymore, so I dug my fingers into her hair and guided her down my length, the way I preferred. I wanted it hard, fast, and deep. My fingers got a hold of the back of her neck, and I moved my hips up at the same time, my feet pushing against the hardwood floor. Tears formed in her eyes until they were large enough to streak down her cheeks. They weren't tears from her sobs, but tears from the discomfort in her throat. She kept hitting her gag reflex over and over, but she stopped herself from coughing over my length. I loved her tears. I knew that made me an ass, but whatever. I was an ass. You have no idea how sexy you look right now. I'd received a lot of great head from talented women, but none of them looked as perfect as she did. She was definitely the most stunning one. Beautiful, despite her bruises and scars. Her hair kept coming loose from my hand, but that didn't stop her from sucking my dick as best she could. I wondered if she liked it. My cock thickened a little more, telling me I was about to explode. I wanted to come on her face or her tits, but right now I wanted to pump myself down her throat. I wanted my cum to sit in her stomach all night while she slept. I wanted her to taste me, to know what a real man tasted like. I'm gonna come. I gripped her neck and pulled her tighter, wanting it harder and fast. She worked harder and jerked me off with her hand. She breathed hard through her nose and sometimes panted through her mouth. Her tits shook with the effort and her nipples were hard. Don't swallow. I gritted my teeth as I felt my body tense. I was about to come hard. You're gonna show me. I thrust up and hit her in the back of the throat, fucking her mouth like a toy. I owned this woman, and I enjoyed reminding her of that fact. I wanted to close my eyes and enjoy the high, but I didn't want to miss this glorious sight. I wanted to watch her struggle to take all of me, to feel my hot seed pile up in her mouth. A quiet groan escaped my lips, followed by a louder grunt. Then I came. I shoved myself completely inside her, making her choke as I filled her mouth with everything I had. I knew I dumped mounds deep inside her, more than she'd ever taken before. It was probably more than I'd ever produced. The orgasm seemed to stretch forever, powerful both in capacity and duration. She didn't pull away, even though she must be struggling to breathe. Like an obedient slave, she put my comfort before her own. I finally finished after nearly a minute, giving my final squirts until I was depleted. My cock slowly began to soften, satisfied.